This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Rule 76 hours from now. It is DiPietro and Rothenberg with you from 5 to 8 o'clock in the morning on 98.7 ESPN. Did you watch the whole Monday Night Football game last night? That was asked on the pre-show meeting. Right? I mean, wild, nasty things from Raymond J. Santiago on the pre-show meeting. But I'm here to produce great radio, and gosh darn it, that's what I'm going to do. And you know who else is going to do it? Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning. Yeah, it was a nasty. Listen, it was a feisty. It's a Tuesday, man. You know what Tuesday is.
Yeah, but so what? I wasn't expecting that.
It's a wakey-wakey situation. It's a CMT Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
You were average yesterday.
Yes, I was.
So we're back.
How were you yesterday? Where were you? Were you great?
I thought I was great.
You thought you were great. You thought I was average. How did you think Rex Ryan was?
That wasn't Rex's best.
How do you think Max Kellerman was?
Worse than Rex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're being honest, right? I mean,
we're in the trust tree. Nobody's going to care. Just be honest.
It's 501. No one's listening.
Yeah, people are listening. People are listening. But that's okay. You can be honest. I think that's what people love about the show. There's a tremendous amount of honesty.
Well, isn't that what makes great teams great? Is a little self-reflection.
Like that's right.
You go over the tape. They always say that.
You go over the tape. Yes. When Max is just stunned that Detroit is 5-7. Yes, I think that was not his best effort.
I saw a video yesterday. I can't share it on the air because what you just said brought it to my mind. That was...
Wait. So you saw a video. You can't share it.
Share it.
What does that do for us?
Oh, no, it'll do something for you because I'm going to tell you at some point. I'll tell you. Just remind me to tell you.
So it's a tease for me and me only and everyone else listening out there. Sorry, you're screwed.
Use your imagination. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, you were watching those videos?
No, I wasn't. Oh. No, I do not watch those kind of videos.
Oh,
how
good
dare
for you. You know what? Everyone needs that in their life. I sign off on it.
No time to watch those kind of videos. I'm so dialed in.
So dialed in. How disrespectful were you in the pre-show meeting, huh? Did any of you guys watch the entirety of the football game last night? How dare you?
I was testing you because I work with a baby, a big baby, a self-important baby.
Who's that?
That's you.
Me? Did I watch
just
the whole football
a simple
game?
Question.
Listen,
simple
there's question. A lot. You can get on me for a lot of things, but for being up to date, especially on the NFL, how dare you?
You've been on the money. On the money. Still couldn't find your hot take. Yeah, that's the only hot take I don't have for some reason.
I can't believe you.
I've
don't
gone
have...
through the entire. I went through the entire notebook that spans back like
that.
Until...
That was my biggest hot take that I've had.
Yeah, no kidding. But I think it was almost like you said it, and we were like, I think we all agreed, like we didn't like it, but it's like okay. That's probably going to happen.
But you wrote it down. It was a hot take, and it's been discussed numerous times.
I don't know where it went. I have a notebook that spans back years, and for some reason, that's the only one that's not in it.
I find that to be quite distressing. All right, so what I don't find to be distressing, and what I am pleased about, is Justin Verlander. So the Mets, it's a pretty good consolation prize. You lose DeGrom. We know what he is. He's phenomenal. And you add Justin Verlander, and it's funny because on the pre-show meeting, you're like, well, postseason, and he wasn't great, and he hasn't been, and you're right, and I can't argue that. But on that same vein, you have to get into the postseason. And last year, he was the best pitcher in the regular season in the American League. I don't know how you could be a Mets fan and not be pleased with this move.
No, of course you're pleased. I mean, you were emotionally attached to Jacob DeGrom, and it hurts that he lost, that he left. It's unfortunate that, you know, having endured what he endured, and us as Mets fans with the Wilpons, and you know, how many times did we take phone calls where Wilpon's got to sell the team? And me and you're like, listen, yeah, we'd all like that, but that we have no, like, what we say doesn't matter. The owner's not going to fire himself. Like, unless he makes the decision to sell the team, there's nothing we can do about him. We can talk about the GM, the manager, players. That can change. Ownership as much as you might hate it. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of Jets fans, right, that wish that Woody would sell the Jets. Well, it's not going to happen unless they decide that they want to do it. So he went through all that different stuff with the Wilpons and everything else, and then finally got to Steve Cohen that was going to spend whatever it took. He was going to do things the right way. He had the Tom Seaver statue was done. All these things that as Mets fans, we wanted were going to get done. And he made a point to say, I want to win a championship in the next 5 years. And now it was your opportunity. You told us you wanted to opt out. Every single second you had a microphone in your face, you said you wanted to opt out. What sucks the most is that, you know, Jacob DeGrom did not want to be a Met. Didn't want to be a Met. That's what right. That's what makes it so hard, is that Jacob DeGrom didn't want to be a Met, and I think the Mets knew that. I don't think we knew everything that was going on inside the clubhouse regarding the situation. So the Mets were like, listen, you want to go, because we have a pretty good plan B, and that plan B ends up being being Justin Verlander.
Yeah. So now, listen, you're the top of your rotation is now geriatric, right?
I mean, yes, it's the Villages.
You got two old starting pitchers, but two guys that are at a different level, right? I mean, they're just elite of the elite, all-time greats. And, you know, Verlander was, I mean, you look at his regular season. Now, he missed the season prior, right, with the arm injury and the surgery and all
one,
that.
He hasn't pitched. Leading to last season, he hadn't pitched.
Right. And the thought, well, what's going to be last year? And he was awesome. He was absolutely awesome last year. So I don't know how you couldn't like it. I heard a lot, well, it's $43 million a year, and you're back to paying all this money. Who cares? I actually like the short-term deal for a lot of money, because now if it goes south, I'm not tied to it for a really long time.
Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, right? So he had the 2 years. He had the Tommy John. He pitched one inning. Not one inning. He pitched six innings in 2020. Didn't pitch in 2021. And then somehow, some way, it's still amazing to think about. You know, shows up last year and gives you one of, I mean, that's a great season last year. Wins the Cy Young. And faded in the postseason, finally got his first World Series win, but whatever. I mean, he's a World Series champion. I'm with you, too. I do like the short-term deal. I mean, would I rather it be, you know, a shorter-term deal for someone that's not, you know, going to be 40 in February? Yeah, probably.
But you're not going to get that.
No, you're not going to get that. And Carlos Rodon, he's probably going to get a long-term deal, and he has, I mean, there's injury concerns. I mean, last year he was, you know, he'd give you a healthy season, but there are injury concerns around him.
And RJ asked me before the show, he's like, which one would you rather have? Your 2 year deal with this or Rodon for six? I'd be fine with either. I think those are both good deals. So I don't have any issue with this whatsoever. Not whatsoever. Listen to the, I mean, Rick, he was 18-4. And again, we know record wise doesn't matter, but that's still an insane record. Had the best ERA in the American League at 1.75. That's, he started 28 games, right? I mean, those are big time numbers. He is a great pitcher.
No, he's a great pitcher. Listen, I like the signing. My bigger question to you, because we don't know what's happened with Nimmo and everything else. Our bullpen doesn't exist.
Correct.
Like, we attempted this. This has been the strategy with this team. It's been dominant starting pitching, right? Like, that's what was supposed to separate us last year, was we have Scherzer, DeGrom, however you want to put them in order, and Bassett. Like, that was our secret weapon, having those two, especially at the top of your rotation, that would separate us from everyone else in the postseason. And in the two biggest series of the season last year, that was not good enough. So, yeah, it's great to have Justin Verlander, and he'll help. But does that make us a better team? Is that what this team really needs to get us over the hump?
Well, when you say over the hump, first of all, this division is a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, Atlanta, agreed. And now Philadelphia adds Trey Turner. So, I mean, you have to get in. You have to compete to win the division before you worry about getting great starts in the postseason, right?
I'm not even saying, well, the postseason is the ultimate goal, right? But I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying in general. Like, do we have enough?
As we are constituted now, I would say no. But they're still a work in progress. Like, this is not the team you're going to see on opening day.
No, I don't think it is going to be either. But we just spent over $43 million a year on Justin Verlander.
Right, but you would have been spending that same money on DeGrom.
I don't think they really, I mean, I don't think they gave DeGrom an offer that he was going to actually accept anyway.
Okay, but if you would, I mean, that if you were to kept DeGrom, you would have to pay money similar to that, right? Like, they knew that, okay, we're not going to have DeGrom, then we're going to go after either Verlander or Rodon or someone of that ilk and pay a lot of money for that starting pitcher.
Okay, but I guess my question to you is that the best strategy, though? Is spending over $43 million a year on a starter the best strategy?
Like, sign two or three guys who are good? instead of one monster would be the other direction.
There was some glaring holes last season outside of the pitching that didn't work late in the season when you really needed it. Didn't work.
The bullpen was a glaring hole, and I think offensively there was a glaring hole.
Yeah, like you need an impact bat. Like you need impact, like not just some guy.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, Aaron Judge, obviously, I don't think they're going to go in that direction. It doesn't sound like they're really all that interested. But, I mean, who are the guys that interest you now? I liked Jose Abreu. They obviously didn't add him. He goes to Houston. Are there guys on your list that you're interested in?
Oh, well, it depends on what kind of market you're looking in. I just think, I mean, the Francisco Lindor had a great season last season, right?
Amazing. Yes,
okay, Pete Alonso had a great season last season. Guy hit 40 bombs, 131 RBI. Like, he had a good season.
Yes.
Hit 270.
Yeah, and Marte had a very good season as well, yes.
Yeah, Jeff McNeil won the batting title. And I know it hurts that we lost Starlin Marte down the stretch, but still, like, we said it from the time, almost all season, they need one more bat, a big bat, like an impact bat.
Totally agree.
Like, there are still things that need to be done.
Oh, yeah, I agree exciting, 100%. My point is, I'm in a wait-and-see attitude. Like, let me see what they do.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, I guess I'm not saying this the right way. They signed Verlander, right? And they're still, I mean, I guess, you know, they're down the road with Tyone, and we'll see what they do to the bullpen. But say, for the sake of my question, they bring back Nimmo. Fix the bullpen, bring in another starter.
Okay.
Add some pieces to the bullpen, and then bring back, Nimmo's going to get a bunch of money, and they bring back Nimmo.
Yeah, a huge amount, yes.
Okay, is that enough?
When
you look at our division?
Enough to win the division, enough to compete for the division.
Oh, that's
enough.
The goal, right? To win the division. I mean, we're trying to win the division, right? If last year wasn't enough. Probably not. If last year wasn't enough, I have a hard time believing that signing Justin Verlander and then bringing back Brandon Nimmo is going to be enough.
I agree with you. But here's the thing. Can you do enough for me, for you, before the season starts to truly think that, okay, now we're better than Atlanta? We're better than Philadelphia.
Well, I don't know. It depends on how much money he wants to spend.
I didn't know if you can do that, period.
Well, listen, I don't know how much money he wants to spend, but I mean, you're spending $86 million. Like, of the $300 that you want to spend, or however much you want to spend,
you're spending $86 million. Yes, on two guys.
On two older pitchers and $34 of it on your shortstop.
Correct.
And then, however, like, if you're bringing Nimmo back, however much money he's got, like, can you afford to do enough?
Well, I mean, the nice thing is that they can afford to do whatever they want.
Are they willing to do that, though?
I don't know.
Because we keep hearing, and I'm telling you, like, the luxury, the competitive tax isn't, like, financially, for someone like Steve Cohen, isn't that punitive. But then when you say that, it's like, well, what about the international pool and the draft picks? And, like, okay, yeah, that's important stuff. But, I mean, you're talking about an owner that said he wants to win a championship in the next 5 years. The clock's ticking on that.
You don't sound overly optimistic this morning about the Mets.
Well, no, listen, I'm happy. I just don't know if it's going to be enough. Like, we went down this road before. Like, and I know Jacob DeGrom being hurt for most of the season didn't really impact the regular season and getting to, you know, the 100 and 101 wins. But it seems like we're going for the same recipe. So, yeah, Justin Verlander will be, you know, should help during the regular season because he'll stay healthy and he'll pitch really well, which is good. But still, I mean, he's 40 years old.
Yep.
Like, at some point, God forbid, he could break down. I mean, Scherzer broke down last year. Like, it happens. Like, I'm always hopeful, especially now with, you know, with how this team is run with Buck and everything else, that I just assume now, and maybe it's the wrong thing to assume, but that we're going to be right there to make the playoffs.
Correct. They should be, in the current status of Major League Baseball, they should be a playoff team every year.
Okay, so if I'm spending $43 million on a pitcher, is that going to take us over the hump that we couldn't get over last season?
I don't know, and I think more has to happen for me to even be able to start to have that conversation.
Or would you have been better off? I don't know if you can say better off because Verlander is so good, but
he's great. The guy was 18 wins with a 1.75 ERA.
Oh, he was awesome, yeah. I don't know. I'm torn because it's not a finished product yet. I don't know.
So that's my point is let's wait and see what happens before we, you know, start really critiquing the whole thing.
I guess my thought process is this. Is this the right formula?
I will honestly tell you, I don't know.
To spend this much money on the top two guys?
I truly don't know. I As opposed to what? As opposed to the Wilpons owning it and now, you know, nickel and diming guys?
No, not nickel and diming guys, but saying like, hey, listen, like rather than spend 40 on one guy, we'll spend 20 on two guys.
Yeah, we're
going to
spread it around?
That way I got two, and now I can focus on, you know, adding a real impact position player. Especially if we lose Nimmo.
At this point, outside of Judge, is there? I mean, in Nimmo, the guy you have, is there a real impact position player?
Well, I think Carlos Correa is an impact player.
Right, but it sounds like the Twins are making him priority number one. And he's
okay, that's fine.
There.
It sounds like the Dodgers are making him a priority. I mean, I love Trey Turner. I love Trey Turner too, but
he's now off the table.
No, I know, but those are the kind of players I'm talking about. And then you also have to remember, though, too, I mean, and this is why the short-term deal makes sense, is because at some point you're going to have to give Pete Alonso a ton of money, and Jeff McNeil's going to want a ton of money.
Of course he is. And Otani's going to be a guy that you're going to go after in a big way.
Yeah, who's going to cost you, I mean, $50 million a year?
But now you have your a great starter and a great hitter.
Could you imagine that, though? If somehow they traded for, because it's the Angels, they fall out of it. You empty your farm system. You pick up Otani at the deadline. Now you have him, and you're going to be paying. You'd pay him 50. Scherzer stays in his deal, so that's 43, and Verlander another 43 for the top three in your rotation.
Be a pretty good top three of the rotation, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, damn. Well, listen, you're paying for it.
Yeah, you are.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see larger-than-life Aaron Judge at the Tampa Bay Bucks game last night?
I did.
Surprises me.
Why?
Because he doesn't seem like a guy that wants all the attention surrounding him. And, I mean, there's a big moment coming up for him, and he was just there front and center. I did not expect that.
Well, he lives in Tampa.
I'm not surprised he went to the game. Going to the game doesn't surprise me. Like, on the field, you know, high-fiving Brady, out
for pregame. How cool is that, though? Like, if you were – said that was the – I'll tell you now. One of the things I was most jealous of, playing for the Islanders and having – Because the Jets had now, they left Hofstra, right? So we weren't close to anyone. Was when you went to like Philly or one of these towns where all the teams are in one central area, was like all the Flyers guys were buddies with all the Eagles guys.
Show up.
That was something that we didn't have.
Yeah,
so
just,
like, could you imagine you're Aaron Judge? You live in Tampa, right? Because the Yankees spring training,
that's their facility, right?
Right there. And you get it, like your buddies with Mike Evans or whoever it is. I think it's Mike Evans. And he's like, hey, Monday Night Football, you should come. You know, bring your wife, come on the field, get to meet Tom. What, you say no?
Nah, I don't have an issue with it. I'm just surprised by it. He doesn't feel like a look-at-me guy, especially in the moment of what's going on, and for him to be front and center last night surprised me. I can be surprised.
I don't know if he wanted to necessarily be front and center. I think you'd have to assume that you're going to be front and center, but it's like you can't miss opportunities like that.
With what's going on
and
a deal pending. You didn't think he knew that was going to be a big story?
No, I'm sure he did. But you got to live your life, man. You get an opportunity to do something like that. You got to do it. Like, I think the more concerning thing or more surprising thing is it sounds like he's headed to San Diego for the winter, for the meetings. And the Yankees didn't know about it.
The Yankees didn't know about it. And did you hear what Cashman said yesterday? He said, we don't really have a plan B or C or D or E or F.
Well, he's got to.
Well, that's great.
Now they have to. I think he's come on.
Well, why would he say that?
Well, he's smarter than that. Probably to mock the people that asked the question.
Well, you know what? A guy that I would have loved to see in the Yankees uniform is Trey Turner. Now, well, I know that he loved Philly, and that was probably always going to happen. But, I mean, there's not a million guys, free agency-wise, available, you know, position players.
No, but did you want to sign? I mean, did you want to sign Trey Turner to an 11-year deal?
11 years is a bit cumbersome. But I'll tell you what. I mean, the average annual is certainly not awful.
Yeah, well, no, it's not awful. I get it. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy also who, I mean, a lot of what makes him great is his athleticism.
Right, and he's going to be, what, 40 at the end of the deal?
Yeah, it's a long deal.
But you do realize when that deal ends, $27 million will be like a bag of peanuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And that's what happened. But this is what happens when you shop in free agency. And it's why the Yankee, it's in the Yankees' best interest to get Aaron Judge done or not done as soon
and
as possible.
And quickly.
Yeah.
Even if it's not going to happen, you need to know.
Of course you need to know. I mean, this is it. Like, you need, of course, Brian Cashman, who just re-ups for another 4 years with the Yankees. I'm sure Yankees fans are pumped about that. They have to. He has a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. He has to.
I would assume he does. It was a little odd that he said he didn't have any plan. All right, you want to hear from Jeff Passan?
Oh, Passan. I thought RJ was supposed to get us Jeff Passan. RJ?
He's working on that. Why are you so negative today?
I'm not negative. I was asking a question.
Yeah, but it felt like it was accusatory.
Well, that was last week. It didn't happen. Last week, he was unavailable at the time that was asked, and we can revisit this week if we like.
Yeah.
Here's why I brought it up. Because there's going to be a little piece of me that misses this 5 o'clock. I like this 5 o'clock hour.
Oh, do you?
Well, because I think it's special.
Well, good for you. I've heard rumblings that you're going to have a solo show, 5 to 6.
Yeah, you're going to do 5 to 6 as the lead-in for 6 to 10.
I don't know if you know
that's
this.
Fine. That's fine. As
long oh, that, as yeah, to, that, that's fine.
Well, as long as I don't have to drive it. I mean, I'll speak for the hour, but I don't want to drive it.
All right. Well, it'll be on you to get here during that commercial break between 5 and 6 in person.
Okay. here's why I'm saying this, though. Because I like this hour. We're going to lose this hour. So there's a lot of people that listen to us 5 to 6 that, you know, get to work really early. They get to work at 6, so they're going to miss some of the show. Going 6 to 10 is a whole different ballgame. So for all these people, they're like, oh, you know, 5 to 8 is too early. It wouldn't sacrifice to be on the 5 to 8 show. Let's not forget that. When all of a sudden we're getting phone calls, hey, we'd love to be on the 6 to 10 show.
Yeah,
I think I
agree with you. I was thinking about this myself. I think we have to have a very serious line of who we allow on the show and who we don't. Because now we have extended time, and we're not really guest heavy anyway. We can't just welcome anybody into our lair. It has to be the right people and people that are committed to the show. And we're committed to the show.
I think, listen, because when the show was in its infancy stages, going 5 to 8, there was always the hope that, hey, maybe sometime if the show's good enough, if we're lucky enough, we'll get the legitimate morning drive. And when I was up in Bristol, I'm getting congratulations. Oh, look at you, big time. So they know.
Oh, they know.
And now it's going to be like, oh, all of a sudden now Jeff can come on whenever. Oh, can he though? Do we want him now?
So you think now we sit back and say, oh, really? Jump for us. Like now
we
make them jump through hurdles just to come on the show.
Well, you remember, hey, can we get, like, what? And we would be, RJ would be so nice. Listen, we know it's early, but anytime it could be 7:30, it could be 7, whatever it is. Just, I mean, for a couple, two questions, we'd like to have you on the show. And then that guest we asked says no, and then all of a sudden, poof, he pops up on the K show. And we're what happened with that?
All the time. But now that we're going to be 6 to 10 starting January 3rd, now there's going to be, okay, hey, hi, RJ, it's me, fill in the blank of a big-time guest. Yep. Any chance I can come on with the guys tomorrow?
And guess what? We'll tell them. RJ will say, no. We're the cat now.
That's right. RJ, practice. Who's the cat now?
Who's the cat now?
RJ, try that.
I got to be honest, though.
Yeah.
We'll have to find where this line is of where we stand by our morals and where we fold like a cheap tent.
We're not folding, RJ.
I think there's some people we fold for.
Well, let me hear you.
So give me a couple of people that if they're like, hey, anytime you want me between like 8:15 and 9:30, I'm willing to come on. Who are we just like, okay, that'd be great.
Joe Shane.
Well, yeah, I think that's up.
Yeah, but Joe Shane we've never asked before, so that doesn't count.
True. Former regimes we've poked around and been denied, all candidness.
Let me hear your meow. I want to see if
come on.
Nope.
Come on. Let me teach you. You want me to teach you?
I think you already have. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on. Give us a little sound, a little noise, a little cat. Come on.
I can't.
I want to see what kind of cat you are.
I can't do that.
Come on. Release your inner cat.
Yeah, come on. Let it go.
I don't think I have an inner cat.
You do. Everyone has their inner cat.
I don't think so.
How about, you have a lion?
I don't think I have any inner feline.
Yeah. What do you have? You have any canine? What do you got? You got to have something in there.
No, not much.
Really?
Nothing much.
This is what happens when you're little. You don't have other people, other animals.
I'll pose like a pig with an apple in my mouth with one of them if you want.
Come on, what do you got, RJ?
I got nothing.
No roar, nothing, huh?
Nope.
This is disappointing.
Yeah, we should work on this.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you. What happens if you get left in the jungle? You're not going to be able to defend yourself at all.
Let's be honest. I get left in the jungle. I get left in a lot of places. How many am I making it out of?
Well, what happens next time you get lost in Costco because they don't have your favorite yogurt?
That's right. And some like man walks up to you and is like, excuse me, where can I find, whatever? And you'll just be like, I'm sorry. You'll go into the fetal position and you'll be terrified.
Oh, God.
If you work on some of your animal noises, RJ, this might be the time for that.
So you think there's a big difference between me being in the fetal position and me roaming around like a lion?
Yes.
You have to walk around like a lion. Walk around like you own it.
You have to stalk around.
That's right.
I think if I'm in the fetal position...
You're the king of Costco.
I think I will get more help. I think if I'm roaming around roaring, I think I'll get a tranquilizer dart.
Roar!
Well, what happens if this man sees you take the last favorite yogurt, and he just comes over and just snatches it right out of your cart?
And slaps you.
And slaps you and says, because
now you roar at him, you know what? You're getting the yogurt.
I think that's an instance of if he wants it more than me.
And that's what we're trying to prevent here.
This is troubling.
Yeah. Very, very troubling.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You want to hear from Jeff Passan or you want to go off on a tangent?
Yeah, I want to hear from Jeff Passan. I'll decide whether or not the tangent was worth it, depending on how Jeff is.
All right. Jeff Passan, we start with the Mets on the Verlander signing. Here he is from SportsCenter.
The Mets feel great because they don't have the lengthy commitment that the Texas Rangers do now for Jacob deGrom. Now, granted, Justin Verlander is coming off a Cy Young award-winning season, a 1.75 ERA. I mean, he has been brilliant since coming back from Tommy John surgery himself, but he's going to be 40 years old on opening day. And when you have a 40-year-old in Verlander and a guy approaching his 40s in Max Scherzer and those are the two at the top of your rotation, you feel pretty good because these are two Hall of Fame pitchers. You also worry about the injury factor. And frankly, the New York Mets want to win a World Series just like the Philadelphia Phillies, just like the Atlanta Braves did in 2021. The National League East is going to be a meat grinder of a division. And I think all the teams there know that.
It's going to be a brutal division. I understand the injury concern, but he went through all of last year and hasn't really pitched for the 2 years prior. I'm not all that concerned about the injuries with him. I'll tell you what, Rick.
Oh, it's not injuries, it's age.
Okay, I get that. But he was great. He was elite last season.
I understand that. Listen, you're right. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he won the Cy Young. I mean, his ERA was a sub 2. I mean, he's 1.75.
Guess how many, this is amazing to me, started 28 games through 175 innings. Guess how many earned runs he allowed last year.
You asked me to get. I already looked at it, so it'd be cheating. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I appreciate your honesty, RJ. He's not here.
You're
not home.
I'm here.
How many earned runs do you think Justin Verlander allowed last season? And Ray, you're next, so get ready.
How about?
And don't spend too much time, because, I mean, you can figure it out.
Don't pull out a calculator.
41.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Raymond, 41.
I was thinking in the ballpark of 50, so.
50, okay. 34 earned runs last season.
Oh, my.
34 earned runs in 28 starts.
That's an amazing season.
Amazing. His whip was .82. Led the league.
I bet he would roar if you asked him to.
I'm sure he would.
Yep.
Oh, you know who I followed on Twitter, by the way?
Kate Upton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did.
Overrated, by the way.
No.
Overrated.
I mean, what an embarrassing take by you.
I'm just telling you. Look at
me. I mean, really, just an embarrassing take.
If you picked your eyes up.
Why would I do that?
Well, see, that's the problem. Because you can't. I mean, it's, you're too focused.
You know what? I have a singular focus, and I'm sorry.
Well, if that's the case, then I agree. But otherwise,
so you're one of these people that can't find anyone else attractive?
I think Sherry's better looking than Kate Upton. How about that?
I agree with you 100%.
Well, how about that?
So let me see this. So
get really... Sherry on the phone, RJ, please.
She's sleeping.
Her creepy husband is following Kate Upton now, please.
I thought I owed it to the Mets fandom.
You don't need to get her on the phone. You can get her right there. You know she's up. She's woken up.
We actually have audio of Dave when he followed Kate.
But you know what I realize now? You saying that you find Sherry more attractive than Kate Upton, you just said you don't find Kate Upton attractive.
I said she's overrated.
Well, come on.
Well, I'm just telling you how I feel.
It's a really bad take. RJ, put Kate Upton in CMT today, would you?
I can make it awkward, but I can put it in there.
Well, yeah,
it
was supposed to be awkward.
In what context?
I don't know. Wives of players?
How many other wives of players do you even know?
Different conversation than, well, I mean, you could go Hannah, you could go Derek Jeter's wife.
Of course you could.
I think she's better. I think she's way better.
Way better.
Than Kate Upton.
I disagree.
Ugh, you're crazy.
Sign of things to come, perhaps.
You're crazy.
I disagree. Oh, maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. I disagree.
No, I think I know what you're prisoner of. The two things. I know exactly what you're a prisoner of.
That's
pretty
clear.
I think that's pretty clear.
You think I'm just completely swayed by that?
Yeah. I think when you say you like boating, that I know what kind of boating you prefer.
I'm a boater. Yeah. I you know what? I'm great on the water.
Yeah,
and welcome aboard. I'm great on the water. All right. You want to hear more from Jeff Passan before you get us fired? We're not going to ever get to the 6 o'clock hour because you're going to get us fired before we even start on January 3rd.
Well, think about how much sleep we'll get. We got it. They gave it to us. And so we reached the pinnacle, and then we said, you know what?
You know, now what we're going to do is we're going to take our foot, insert it into our mouths, and you take it away from us. But as long as you know that we had it for a moment,
yes.
For a fleeting moment.
We made it.
And then what happens to RJ and Ray?
Well, they won't get fired.
Right, but what happens to them?
Well, they would just take over for something else, I guess.
For whatever next show is on.
Yeah, for Joe Leo and Harvey.
Yeah, that would be an award winner. All right. You want to hear Jeff Passan on Judge?
It doesn't feel like I have a choice. Yeah, play it.
So you hate Passan?
No, I love
Passan or Kate Upton?
Passan.
You really are. All right. Here is Jeff Passan, SportsCenter. Expectations is the judge's decision is going to come down very soon.
Well, the expectation is that Aaron Judge's contract is going to get done sometime at the winter meetings this week. They end Wednesday, and the reality is Aaron Judge can wait if he wants to. He's got the New York Yankees. He's got the San Francisco Giants. And right now, it's a matter of two things. Number one, who is going to give him the bigger contract? And number two, if it is the San Francisco Giants, does he still want to go back and be a New York Yankee? Listen, he's got the world in his hands right now. Aaron Judge, the MVP of the American League, and the reality is every team out there should want to sign him, but the cost is going to be well over $300 million, and it's his choice, one that he's likely to make this week.
So we'll find out, I would guess, in the next 48 hours, because he had said by the end of the winter meetings, which ends on Thursday. I mean, is this just cut and dry for you? No matter what it costs, the Yankees should be in on it?
Well, not even what it costs, no. I mean, now you're reading reports that it could be 9 years.
Right. I wouldn't even be surprised if it got to 10 years.
Whew. I mean, listen, I don't know how, I don't care what plan B is. I don't know how the Yankees go about losing Aaron Judge. I don't. I mean, he's one of the faces of baseball. He might be the face of baseball right now.
No, I think he's Ohtani's the MVP. Up there too.
Yeah, but it's different, though. I mean, I agree with you. Ohtani is, but I mean, there is something to be said about being on the Yankees and what that does for you. But he has one of the greatest offensive seasons, and because they decided they were going to give him a fair offer as opposed to just getting the thing done, which would have been a much reasonable contract now than they're going to have to shell out if they do sign him, is they let it get to this point, man.
And yeah, now they have nobody to blame but themselves. But no. But is this just like, no matter what, you have to... Because I don't know, man. I mean, if I have to give him a 10-year deal... Because 9, I think, is going to happen. 10, I think, could happen. I'm going to go 10 years, 375. 10 years, 400 million. I don't know.
I don't think you're going. But if you're going 10 years, you're not going 400.
All right, so 375. I mean, that. And I get it today. That's phenomenal. And you want them and you have to have them. You have to think about long term. Is that the right thing for this organization? I don't know that it's so cut and dry like everyone else seems to think.
Well, but because you don't want to give out 10-year deals. I'd rather not give out that kind of length of a deal. But because he's so important to your team and you really have no one else on the team. Like, the Mets lost to Grom, which sucks, but you still have Lindor, you have Alonso, you have Scherzer, now you signed Verlander, you got McNeil, like, you got guys still that people like, that Mets fans like.
Still very excited about the Mets. Listen, I love DeGrom. I would have liked to have brought him back.
But it's not even that, though, Dave. There's another aspect of this thing, too, that all these teams take into account. Like, there's a reason why the San Francisco Giants are going to bend over backwards and pay whatever it takes. Because it's not just Aaron Judge's, you know, his effect on the field and wins. It's the entire package of Aaron Judge.
Yes, how many people put their butts in the seats because Aaron Judge is on the team now?
How many 99 jerseys are walking around?
He becomes like the face of the franchise.
Well, the Mets still have those guys. Like, as many 48 jerseys as you saw, like, you still see, like, you see a ton of Alonso jerseys. You're seeing a ton of Diaz stuff now. The Lindor stuff, because he's locked in. Like, the Yankees don't have any of that outside of Aaron Judge. Like, the fan base, I don't even think, likes Garrett Cole.
They don't like Garrett Cole.
I think
they
their second favorite player is who?
Garrett Cole.
Who's their second favorite player? Nestor Cortez is probably their second favorite player.
Yeah, they do love him, but he's not great. He's good.
But it's not even close, though.
Who's their second favorite player?
Nestor Cortez.
It's not Stanton.
No. Nestor.
I don't think it's Aaron Hicks.
Oh, it's apparently they're trying to move him and Donaldson.
Of Volpe.
Oh, they better hope it is.
The unknown is so enticing to the Yankees.
They could not have handled this any worse than they've handled it.
It's not good.
I mean, how could you have handled this any worse? You went from getting it done probably with the 7-year extension plus the last year of his arbitration at a number that was close to 35 probably gets it done, because it would be so hard to say no to that. Like, 35, just think about that. Let's say 34, 35 maybe times 8, mm-hmm, is probably what you could have got it done for.
So what is that, 260 would have gotten it done, and now it's going to be 350?
Yeah, now you're probably looking at, I mean, you're probably, if it's going to go 9, you're probably looking at close to 360.
Probably. Well, you know what? They have no one to blame but themselves. Could have gotten this thing done. Easily could have gotten this thing done.
35, if you give them 35 times the 8, you're at 280.
That would have gotten it done.
And you didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and then
now you could have spent this offseason just focused on how we can add.
Yep. They got a lot of work to do also. 1-800-919-3776. And Brian Cashman will be the person in charge of making those decisions. We'll get to that in just a moment. Let's get to some of the calls, though. I feel like you've really stood in the way of the calls today. Connor in Stamford. Connor, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, boys.
What's up, buddy? How are
you? What's going on, man?
Good. I just wanted to get your take on this. I mean, even putting injuries aside, let's say Verlander stays healthy all year. Are you guys concerned at all about, like, the drop-off that Garrett Cole had leaving Houston? I mean, do you think you're going to have a similar situation with Verlander?
No, because Verlander was great in Detroit. Cole
right,
wasn't
but,
Cole
I mean,
wasn't Cole
like
until he got to Houston. Wasn't Cole until he got to Houston, and then he was unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, when this whole sticky stuff happened, he was just good.
Right, and he hasn't been the same pitcher that he was.
No,
in,
I mean
in
Verlander
Houston.
Verlander just coming off of Tommy John, pitching six innings over 2 years, won the Cy Young, and had an ERA that's the lowest regular, like, full season ERA since Pedro in 2000.
Yeah, but look at what he was on Detroit. Like, he was in a, right? He was yeah, rookie of the year. He was Cy Stunt. Young winner. Didn't he win the Cy Young and the MVP?
That's right.
I mean, that's outstanding.
He's a stud.
He is.
He's just going to be 40. That's the only concern.
Which is a concern.
He's like the Tom Brady kind of thing, though, where it's his real focus.
Age 39, and I've heard him say he wants to pitch at least 45 also.
Yeah, well, that's his thing. Like, it's right. Like, he's like the, you know, the baseball equivalent of Tom Brady, where he's
focused on. And Kate Upton is there to keep him young.
On longevity. You're just such an idiot.
How am I an idiot? By the way, I'm getting a lot of tweets that your take is just horrendous.
I don't think she's as great as everyone says. It's my opinion. What do you want to tell
horrendous.
You? That's not my thing.
Horrendous. RJ, great, not great. I won't ask a follow-up. Just great, not great.
Kate?
Yeah.
Yes. Great.
Raymond? Great, not great.
I got to tell you, she's half great. She's missing certain features.
Thank you. See, I agree with Raymond. I know what you guys are focused on, and if that's the focus, listen, if that's listen, how we're listen, judging listen, this.
No, you know what? Don't pigeonhole RJ and I. We're more than that.
Listen, what makes her attractive is a great thing, but there's other things that are missing.
All I said is great. That's or not elite. Great. Now you have to start breaking it down.
Well, he's
like
breaking it down because
like
this is what
John
we do.
Madden.
As best
you gonna bring
as
out the clicker?
As best as we can.
You going to bring out the telestrator? You animal. Well, let's go to Josh in Chicago. Good morning, Josh. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing great.
So Dave, I'm a little surprised you're so excited about this, and then you guys gave me some more fodder that I was listening. So your biggest knock on DeGrom when you were, you know, trying to have your, you know, after your lover left you, you were trying to make yourself better, was that he let you down at the end of last season, you know, and he gave up the home runs in the playoffs, all that. His ERA in the one playoff game last year was a 3.
Right.
Verlander's was 5.87.
Right.
He only made it out of the fifth inning once. He gave up 6 runs in one start and 5 in another.
I sat here and said
that's not an upgrade.
I said it's an upgrade in the regular season. I don't think it's an upgrade in the postseason.
So then the second point, and then I'll get off and listen, that you guys are saying you're not worried about the Houston factor. In Verlander's entire career prior to Houston, he only had a sub ERA twice. He has not had an ERA above 3 since going to Houston. Plus, his ERA dropped almost a full point, you know, that first season in Houston. So the caller before who brought up that point, you know, I'm not going to cast aspersions of this, that, and the other thing, but it clearly has had an effect. Because he has clearly been, the summation of his time in Houston was far better, even though he did have some good years. He had 2 sub ERA.
I'm looking at his numbers right now. He had the 1 year, last year, 1.75, unbelievable. Other than that, in Houston, I mean, he was 2.58, he's 2.52. Now you look in Detroit, he had a 2.40, he had a 2.64, he had a 3.04, right? He had a 3.63, he had a 3.37. It's not like he went from being a good pitcher to a great pitcher. He went from being a great pitcher maybe to a little greater, maybe not. But I don't understand how you can have – and postseason, I think, is a legitimate conversation. But as far as regular season, both production and health, I think he's every bit as good as Jacob DeGrom.
I think there's more than just – here's the thing, though, because I get it, and I understand what he's saying. But, I mean, he had established himself already in Detroit. The guy won a Cy Young and an MVP in Detroit as a pitcher. Like, he was elite in Detroit. And then towards the end of it in Detroit, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was wear and tear, if it was just the team stunk, a lot of people thought he was done. Remember those conversations? He might be done.
Yep.
Yankees were talking about potentially getting him. They didn't. He goes to Houston. I think it's more than just sticky stuff with Houston. I think that they definitely tiptoe that line between gamesmanship and cheating. We've already seen that. But I also think they're really smart at what they do. And I think there's other things that they do with pitchers to help them. Like with all the technology that they have, I think they use to help their pitchers. And I think it definitely helped Justin Verlander, just like I think it helped Gerrit Cole. But Gerrit Cole, for whatever reason, was reliant. Like a lot of what he did, maybe it's just mental or whatever it is, had to do with some of the sticky stuff. Sticky stuff is gone. It's gone. Right? And Gerrit Cole still hasn't been the same pitcher. And you just saw Justin Verlander win the Cy Young. So I understand what you're saying, what the caller was saying, but I mean, you could see once that whole thing happened and Gerrit Cole became kind of like the poster child for Spider Tack, that he wasn't the same guy. Like he wasn't
right.
as dominant
he
as
off,
he was
he
in Houston.
He dropped off a cliff, really.
Yeah, but he wasn't as dominant. Like this wasn't the guy you signed for, you know, the 9 years. It
no.
just looked different.
No. And Justin Verlander, I mean, last season was as good as he's ever been.
It was awesome, yeah.
Right? And he was healthy. And he makes almost every single start. I think he got hurt down towards the end of the season, but they were also in good shape. They didn't really need him. But, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know how you could have a negative take on this.
I don't know if it's a negative take. I think it's more, I think some Mets fans, including myself, don't love this whole like coping mechanism that we have as people where it's like we'll call in and just say, you know, good riddance, we didn't need him. Like this whole like trying to explain away why it's okay that DeGrom is not a Met anymore.
He didn't want to be a Met.
That's the thing, though. I mean, that's what's helping me get over it, is the more I hear about it, the more I realize
that
that's...
he didn't want to be. How could you pine for a guy that didn't want to be with you?
I think, well, no, that's something that I think that's...
And he made it perfectly clear. Every time he had a microphone put anywhere near him, he made it perfectly clear he was opting out of that deal last season.
Yeah, well, I think that's part of the reason. That's most of the reason why Mets fans aren't throwing fits now that he's not here. And what are you supposed to do?
You got a pretty good consolation prize.
No, it's a great consolation prize. I just still question if it's going to be enough.
Right now, it's not going to be enough. But let me see how it plays out. Let me see the finished product before I sit here and tell you that, boy, I don't like what they did this offseason. Or I do. Let me see. We'll see how it plays out.
All right. I'll give you time.
Okay. I'm not in a rush. We're not in a rush. We have an extra hour coming up. But plenty of time to dissect this.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.